Lieutenant, the Marine Corps Code of Conduct and the King James Bible.
I hate snakes, Doc! I hate them!
And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled. You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret, top secret. So secret I can't even say it right. Broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike and I am online and I am live with you today. This is the talk show that reveals things, not conceals. It does not cover up. It reveals. And this is the one that hell hates. And the more you listen, especially today, the more you're going to know why. Good to be with you today. Let me just say this. Appreciate everybody's prayers concerning my wife. This one caught me by surprise. But she has had, you know, issues before. I explained this last week with her body telling, you know, the doctor said, your body tells us it knows how to make cancer. Well, it made it this time. And she got the results of the biopsy in yesterday. And it is cancer. And we are going after today's show. We are headed up to see a surgeon, and I will keep everybody informed on, you know, what's going on with that, how she's doing, and so on. And you know, just the number of fights that we have had this year, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it's just been, you know, one of those. It's just been a year of wrestling. We have had we've had shakeups in our church, bitter people who, in violation of Scripture, decide to go around and tell everything that they think they know about people who go to church here. Two people who go to church here. And there's one thing, well, actually there's a list of seven things that God said is an absolute abomination to him. It is he that soweth discord among brethren. And that has happened in this church this year, especially more so than I've ever seen it in all of the years I've been going to church here. And I mean all the years I've been going to church here. I've been here since 1974. And I've never seen it any more than this year. And it's a small group of people who hate my guts and decided that they are going to try to destroy me and this church and this ministry. And so we've had to deal with that. And then when the devil decides that he can't get to me, then he goes after my wife. Then he goes after my children. And that's happened. And that's been hard. I would rather the devil climb all over me and rip me to shreds than to do it to any member of my family. And I'm dead serious on that. And so you can imagine, you know, when I preached this Sunday, I would never want to be my children. Not in a million years would I want to be any one of my children. Because of them being my, you know, if somebody in the church, if their kid does something wrong, we all pray for them. We love them. But when one of my children does something wrong, Pastor Mike is an evil pastor. That's what's being said. And that's very difficult to deal with. And when I say to you folks watching me right now, when I say this, when I say you're the reason why I do what I do, absolutely, or I would not be here today. I would not be here. And so then on top of all of that, my wife found out yesterday that she does indeed have breast cancer. And I was not expecting that. I figured this is just something else, you know, just another scare, and, you know, this will go away, but it won't. So we're, after today's program, we're going to go up and see a doctor and figure out a course of action. So you can imagine, it's just one thing after another. And what I'm going to show you today is part of the reason why. I don't ask for, I don't want to say I don't ask for this. I ask God to show me things. I want to know. And something I'm going to show you, I was prepared from the moment I found out Saturday that Jeffrey Epstein had committed suicide. Is that what they're calling it? I thought, man, I'm going to deal with that because... It just the idea itself, even liberal people are all over this going, something happened, something, no, huh? You're not going to tell me that was suicide. There's no way in the world you're going to tell me that that was a normal prison suicide. So there's something there, and I knew it from the moment I saw it. And I'm totally honest. We were waiting to go out to dinner with some people that were leftovers from homecoming. They just decided not to go home. And I'm not kidding you. The Lord said, go to Drudge Report. And I went, oh, no way. And I instantly knew something was up. What I found out, the bombshell that I tweeted about a few minutes ago, I found out a few minutes ago. I'm not kidding you. It's where God says, look at this, look at this, look at this, and get ready now, look at this. And I look at that and I'm going, that's going to be today's button. You understand that, right? Let's get scripture. Let's, because we're going to talk about conspiracy theories. And if you don't believe the Word of God, your conspiracy theories are going to be, number one, they're all going to be wrong. Number two, they're going to be the dumbest things that anybody's ever heard of in the history of stupidity. And I'm saying that in a nice, friendly way. Ephesians 2. Understand that the events of this world, although are carried out amongst mere mortal men. The events of this world are not the product of mere mortal men. There is a war going on as we speak. It is a war of heaven against hell. A nation against a nation, and a kingdom against a kingdom. It is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of hell itself. And we are caught in the middle of that war. We are the pawns of that war, as it were. The servants of, you could say, Jesus and Satan. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And so what he says to do, I do. What he says to say, I say. Where he leads, I go. What God gives me to give to others, I give to others. We are inspired. As those of us, we well know this. Whenever you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden God shows you something, you've never seen it before, your eyes just well up with tears, you get the doodads, you raise your hands to heaven and you shout and you go, wow, God is the neatest thing I've ever seen in the world. There's nothing greater than this right here. And then a month later, it does it again, only it's better. And you're just amazed. You stand in awe and reverence to God for all of the wonderful things that he shows you out of his word. The Holy Spirit is there to reveal things to us. There's actually a number that goes along with the theme of revelation. We actually have a book in our Bible called Revelation. The book of Revelation is the 66th book of the Bible. It has 22 chapters in it. A number that relates to revelation is the number 22. Now, was it an accident? Last Saturday, when Epstein was found in his unresponsive in his prison cell, it was August 10th. Now, just something just made me say, I wonder what day of the year that is. 222nd day of the year. Push the button. 220. And understand, in the book of Revelation, 66th book of the Bible, has 22 chapters, and actually that's 22 times 3. In the book of Revelation, you have a revelation of things. Imagine that. You have a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have a revelation of heaven. You have a revelation of the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the false prophet. You have all these revelations going on in a book called the book of Revelation. And you have the revelation of an alternative spirit that works in this world that, whereas God's word reveals things, her words are meant to conceal things. Manly Hall writes in Secret Teachings of All Ages, he writes and says that the word reveal actually means to reveal something, to cover something up by putting a veil over it. Now, Manly Hall's a liar. I get it. What do you quote from him so much? Because Manly Hall knows a lot about secrets. Secret societies, mystery religions, secret doctrines, mystery doctrines. And what Manly Hall basically says is every religion, every civilization, every philosophy, everything, when you add it all together, you get this picture that it's trying to conceal not 1,000 secrets, but one secret. One all-encompassing mystery that the symbolisms of the occult, Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, Kabbalah, the ancient myths and legends that we hear about, all of those symbols relate to one veiled secret that only an elect few are ever supposed to even know about its existence. The rest of the world is supposed to just continue on as if nothing is going on. There's nothing that's paying no attention to that man behind the curtain while he's pulling the knobs and everything like that. So that was Manly Hall. That's what his, and I agree with him. To the extent that there is only one great big giant conspiracy, one secret, one mystery, one thing that's covered up. And that is who that man of sin is, what he's going to do. Everything that then you can read about Freemasonry, while you will never read verbatim what their secret is. You'll never, if you read, if you... I guarantee you, if somebody goes up into their attic and finds a document handwritten by Albert Pike himself, a document that has never been seen by the eyes of man before, and he reads this document, Albert Pike will not have revealed the secret of Freemasonry. I'm not sure that Albert Pike knew what it was. He may have and just never wrote it down. But its true nature was never intended to be written down by mortal men, only intended to be known by a very select few people. Which is why in the front cover of Morals and Dogma, the copy that I have, it plainly states, esoteric book, to be returned upon the death of a Freemason. In other words, when the Mason dies, his wife is not, don't read that book, honey. Don't read that book. If I die, take all my books that I have, turn them back into the lodge because nobody's allowed to read these books. Well, some widow didn't do what her husband told her to do, or he didn't tell her. Because, you know, some women, you tell them, whatever you do, don't read this. We all know what's going to happen. So I ended up with this copy of Morals and Dogma. It says, you know, esoteric book, which means that everything that's written in there is going to veil the secret, not reveal the secret. So we know that God's word reveals. Book of Revelation sums up basically what the entire Bible is all about. Revealing to mankind what really is happening in this world. Now, let me read a couple of articles. I mean, I started collecting articles from Saturday on, and I've got a ton of them. Let's see here. Jeffrey Epstein kept meticulously detailed diaries which could come back to haunt his powerful pals. Now that the man's dead, a lot of things can be covered up, but a lot of things also can be revealed. Now that he's dead, he has no rights. And because he has no rights, then anything that is mentioned about him is fair play. You've got Trump tweeting conspiracy posts about the Clintons and Epstein's death. Conspiracy theories fly online in the wake of Epstein death. Now, here's a good one. Here's my favorite one. Jail where Jeffrey Epstein died had, quote unquote, serious irregularities, Attorney General says. Barr's remarks came 2 days after Epstein was found unresponsive in a cell at the Federal Detention Center in Lower Manhattan. Attorney General William Barr said Monday there were serious irregularities at the federal jail in New York where Jeffrey Epstein died in an apparent suicide. I was appalled and frankly angry to learn of the Metropolitan Correctional Center's failure to adequately secure this prisoner, Barr said in a speech to a law enforcement group in New Orleans. We are now learning of serious irregularities at this facility that are deeply concerning and demand a thorough investigation. Never going to happen. Never, never going to happen. Now, let's see, where is it? There's an article in here. Yeah, here's another one. Jeffrey Epstein wasn't checked on for hours before apparent suicide, source says. There's another article here that says, oh, by the way, yeah, here we go. There's no video of Jeffrey Epstein's apparent suicide. There's no surveillance video of the incident in which Jeffrey Epstein apparently hanged himself in a federal lockup in Lower Manhattan, law enforcement officials told the Post on Sunday. Although there are cameras in the 9 South Wing where the convicted pedophile was being held at the Metropolitan Correctional Center, they are trained on the areas outside the cells and not inside, according to sources familiar with the setup there. Poles who attended Sunday's annual Dominican Day parade in Manhattan demanded answers to the many questions surrounding Epstein's Saturday morning death, which is being investigated by the FBI and the Justice Department. Something doesn't smell right, and it's not his dead body, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams said. Adams noted that the July 23 incident in which the multimillionaire financier was found nearly unconscious in his cell with marks on his neck, as well as the blockbuster court papers that were released on Friday and contained the names of other men, including former Maine Senator George Mitchell and ex-New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, who allegedly slept with an Epstein teenage sex slave. Something is really troubling about that, and I think it needs to be investigated extremely and very thoroughly to make sure there wasn't any foul play. You and I both know that is never, ever, ever going to happen. Now, for those of you not familiar with Jeffrey Epstein, let me explain to you why this is such a big deal. And I mean, like, one of the biggest deals ever. Jeffrey Epstein, and I've got lots of, in fact, you know me, I've got way more information that I'll be able to give out today. Jeffrey Epstein was a billionaire. Billionaires, let me give you a bombshell here. Billionaires are not pennionaires. Billionaires have money. And the more money you have, the more power you have. The more power you have, the more influence you have. The more you have, the more you gain. Jeffrey Epstein was a hedge fund manager, which basically means that all he did was make money. It wasn't that he went out and dug ditches and built, you know, cities and built houses and worked at a factory to get his money. He made money, which is what he did, and he was good at it. That money, more than likely, if you think in the world of high finance, that money is all legal, you're crazy. That money, in order to make that kind of money, rules have to be broken. And for people like Epstein, rules are made to be broken. Oh, and yes, Epstein, what does that name tell you? Was he Puerto Rican? Was he Italian? Was he Chinese? No, he was Jewish. Now, my love for the Jewish people does not gloss over the eyesight that I have to understand that there are some Jewish people in this world who are some of the most evil, greedy, covetous people that ever walked in shoe leather. Of that, I have absolutely no doubt. God was so angry at the Jews, he divorced them. Yes, the God that hates divorce divorced Israel because he could no longer deal. He got tired of their whoredoms. And in Epstein's case, that's very telling. But anyway, Epstein, of course, was a Jew and he was a billionaire. And that means that he was very covetous and he didn't mind breaking any whatever rule was necessary in order to get that money. Now, another thing that Epstein was, which is common amongst, understand that the elite in this world do not live the same way you and I live. They do not play by the same rules you and I play by. Even in America, they don't. We say the Constitution binds everybody under the law. Not the elite. Not them. Case in point, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Some of the most wicked, diabolical, self-centered, covetous, adulterous people who were ever Americans, Bill and Hillary Clinton. They didn't live the way you and I live. They didn't operate under the same laws that you and I are forced to operate under. We all remember the days when Bill Clinton got himself in serious trouble and walked, got a free pass. I mean, this thing with, you know, one of his interns, Monica Lewinsky, that was nothing compared to what other things was known about Bill and Hillary Clinton. The death of Vincent Foster still remains unsolved. The Clinton body count. I did a Pastor Mike Online here a while back about the Clinton body count. The number of people who were associated with Bill Clinton. I'll give you one. The original raid on the Branch Davidian compound, Waco, Texas, killed a certain number of Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms agents. The agents that died, every one of them that died on the original raid at Waco, not the fiery end, but the one that started it all, those BATF agents, the ones that died, all of them were Bill Clinton bodyguards when he was governor of the state of Arkansas. These are the ones who drove him to meet up with prostitutes. These are the ones who knew the secrets of then Governor Bill Clinton. And all of a sudden now they die in this tragic, tragic thing that was pinned on a man who was just happened to be 33 years old. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But anyway, these rich people, they don't operate under the same rules. They don't live under the same laws. So Jeffrey Epstein he's a pervert. And instead of, I don't even know if the guy was ever married. If you're wealthy, why would you marry? If not to then make some sort of family connection so you can make more money. Maybe he was. I don't know. But one of the things that we know for a fact about Epstein was he loved the ladies, and the younger they were, the better they were for him. Now, it is known that he owned a Caribbean. I never could figure out why you pronounce it two different ways. Is it the Pirates of the Caribbean or Pirates of the Caribbean? Anyway, he owned a Caribbean island, and on that island, he had his own private resort. And on that resort, he had hired ladies of the evening, bunches of them. Several of them were below the age of 17. Several of them were. And it is known that men like Prince Andrew, who of course is denying it, Bill Clinton, Governor Bill Richardson, who was it? What was the name I read a while ago? Mitch McConnell. Some of the most wealthy, powerful men, Britain, United States, maybe other countries, all took a trip. You see, when you get on an airplane, I don't care who you are, there's a record of your flight that takes place. And it is known that all of these men, plus probably hundreds, if not thousands, of others, attended what they refer to as Pedophile Island. Because Epstein had underage girls that worked as ladies of the evening on this private resort. And you know, you got to understand this. These men actually believe that they can live this lifestyle and get away with it. And for the most part, they all do. This is not something that's just been going on in the last 20 years. This has been going on throughout human history. The elite always see themselves as being able to get away with everything, including murder. And in many cases, in this life, they do. I don't want that. To me, that idea is so foreign to me. As someone who doesn't make a ton of money, someone who is a Bible-believing Christian, someone who is just a plain guy, the idea that I could live a life of lavish luxury and ladies and get away with whatever I want, you have to understand there are billionaire clubs in this world where the elite hobnob and they all cover up one another's secrets. They all watch out for one another. And maybe at one time you may have wanted that. You think, wow, man, that's the life to live. Let me tell you about our brother Solomon, who God gave that life to. He gave the life of luxury, ladies, liquor. God gave Solomon that kind of life. He had money, he had power, he could grab any woman that he wanted. Never fought a war a day in his life, never knew what hardship was. And at the end of his life, he's telling his brethren, us, guys, God let me have all that stuff. You don't want it. I'm telling you, I had it all. And you don't want it. It's not what you think it is. It's a waste of time. It's vanity. Now, I'm going to die, and they're going to roll my body in a tomb somewhere, and it's going to rot and stink just like a beast is. So he tells us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. So Solomon had that lifestyle, tells us not to want anything to do with it because it will not provide what we think it will provide. Only Jesus gives us the satisfaction in life. Somebody say amen. Now, conspiracies. And I want you to think about this. This guy, if all I was going to do today was talk about Epstein's death related to the kind of life he lived, here's what I would say. Epstein made these connections to these very wealthy, powerful men by offering them his services that he owned on this pedophile island that he had, where guys could leave their wives, go on this little nice little airplane flight, land in this island, and be catered to for a few days, and then turn back to normal politics or normal business as usual, or hi honey, I'm home type stuff, and act like it never happened. And oh, by the way, Epstein's not going to blow the whistle. Now, all of a sudden, Epstein's in prison. He's in jail, actually, and he's being held on charges. And within Friday the 9th, something like a 2,000-page document released, unsealed, and it has names in it. Of very wealthy and or powerful men that were known to have, there is a trail of evidence that were known to have visited this island getaway that he had with these underage girls on it. And it just so happens the day they unseal this document is the day that they take him out of Suicide Watch. And then understand a little bit about Suicide Watch. When you are in different jails, deal with it differently. But when you're on Suicide Watch, they put you in a room that's not like any room that you've ever been in. The bed is specially made. It's bolted to the floor. And you are given a paper gown. A paper gown. You're allowed to cover yourself, but not with anything that you can use to harm, cut, or hang yourself with. And there's a camera on you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or in this case, 6 days a week. So he's on suicide watch. Because he said, I'll kill myself or whatever. The day that this document becomes unsealed,
He's taken out of suicide watch. I don't know why. Was it because he was done? Did he say, I promise I won't commit suicide, or what? Nobody seems to know the answer to that. So now he's placed in a, I don't know what kind of cell it was. I don't know if he had a cellmate. I don't know anything about that. But now he's vulnerable. And apparently there's not a camera on him. Just so happens that there's no camera. Just so happens that way. So then they find his lifeless body August the 10th, which is the 222nd day of the year. Bum, bum, bum. Okay? 6 days. And by the way, he's 66 years old. That's another one. And this story's happened before. Lady by the name of the DC Madam. I'm getting ahead of myself. But he's got the names. As long as he's alive, as long as Epstein is alive, he is what's referred to as a liability. Because he knows the names of the people that he knows they would be in serious trouble if their names ever saw the light of day that they visited Pedophile Island that he owned. I mean, he's guilty, yes, but he's not guilty alone. He is guilty with associates. There are a lot of men who have a lot to lose if this man is remained alive. And so, just with that piece of information right there, I'm going, this is crazy, this guy. Of course he's dead. What did you think was going to happen? And I mean, I don't know. I'm not a predictor of the future. All I can do is tell you that I don't think that any real serious investigation is ever going to take place. There's going to be a pretense of it. I guarantee you, phone calls are being made right now. Hey, we need to get this. We need to make sure this Epstein guy, and the thing he knows, we need to make sure that never sees the light of day. You get what I'm saying? I guarantee you phone calls were made. Guarantee you. That probably nailed his coffin shut and made sure that the information about him never sees the light of day. I gotta get to the good stuff here. Let me put this on the screen for you. I'm gonna provide. Here's the bombshell. You gotta get ready for it. Hang on. I gotta push a couple of buttons. Here we go. Is that the button I wanted? No, this is it right here. Here we go. This is Epstein, 66 years of age. There's Epstein there. Let me get my little red pen here going. There's Epstein and there's Donald Trump. Now, of course, everybody's walking thousands of miles away from Epstein saying, well, I didn't know him all that well. I mean, I just shook hands with him and took a picture with him, but I didn't know him all that well. Everybody in the world is going to do that now. But I'm going to be honest with you. It would not surprise me if Donald Trump's name came up somehow, some way. Would not surprise me. Now, I like some of the things that Trump has done for this country. I don't like him. I don't like his morality. I don't like his lady chasing. I don't like his filthy mouth. There's a lot of things that I do not like about Donald Trump. And it would not surprise me if he had visited this island. Would not surprise me. You know, again, that may make some people upset that are Trump supporters. Listen, I love America. I love what he has done for America. But if he's guilty, He should hang with the rest of them. The kingdom that I believe in is the kingdom of God. My real boss is Jesus Christ, not the President of the United States. If he is guilty, he should hang with the rest of them. Now, I'm not saying he is, and I'm not saying I know he is. I'm just saying, if one goes down and whoever's guilty associated with him, they should go down too. I don't care what political party or what kind of things he does for the country. Nobody, people, nobody is above God's law. No one is. All right, now, 60. Just so happens, 66 chapter of the New Testament, because Epstein was 66, right? By the way, Epstein, Jewish name. Luke 22, Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is called the Passover. And I want you to think of this now. We're going to think Bible. So put on your Think Bible hats. If you don't have one, you need to get one. Put on your Think Bible hats, and I want you to think Bible on this thing. Epstein's death. Now, if Epstein actually did hang himself, it would end up being the most fortuitous event to ever happen in criminal history. Wow. Boy, we got off easy on that. Epstein hung himself. Yeah, wow, that worked out pretty well, didn't it? If he really did take his own life. It just happens to work out well for a lot of very powerful people. But let's just, I don't know, play the devil's advocate for a second. And ask ourselves the question, what if Epstein was suicided, meaning killed because dead men can tell no tales? Well, then what you have then is a sacrifice, which is what the 66th chapter of the New Testament is all about. It's about the Feast of Unleavened Bread draws nigh, which is called the Passover. You have Satan entering into, guess who? Judas Iscariot. Satan's involved. There's no doubt in my mind that Satan is involved in this, especially when I show you what I'm about to show you. I've not showed you the bombshell yet, but it's coming. He's 66 years old. Does this theme in Luke 22 match? Yeah, I think it does. Epstein's life was a sacrifice. A sacrifice that benefits others. And the other people that it benefits are all the people that he knew had been in bed with underage girls. That's whose benefit his death was. Instead of the wealthy, powerful, elite men who are guilty going down, Epstein goes down in their place. A Jewish man, are you kidding this? A Jewish sacrifice once again. For the benefit of the sleazy. Okay? Now, I may be stretching that, but I'm not done. Now, as I said, August 10th, that's the day that he was found dead or unresponsive in his cell. August 10th is the 222nd day of the year. Now, remember, the number 22 is a number for revelation. As far as how God uses that number or how God sees that number, Revelation has 22 chapters. Bible has 66 books, 22 times 3. You can just go on and on and on from there. But when it's turned upside down, again, Manly Hall says the word reveal means to reveal. In the eyes of the occult world, it's not a day of revelation. It's a day of veiling or covering up. something. And ask yourself the question, what spirit is it that instead of revealing things, keeps things a mystery? Yes, her name is Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And of course, she is revealed in the book of the Bible, 22 times 3, 66, Revelation, which has 22 chapters in it. So think along those terms. Is this not a revelation? It is a cover up. Something has to be secreted. Something has to be occulted. That goes along with Jeffrey Epstein. And by the way, what was it about him that was so dangerous? Was it because of money transactions? No, it was has to do with fornication. In fact, let's see here. Let's get out our old King James Bible here and go to Revelation. Let's see here, Revelation 17. Look at this. There came one of the seven angels who had seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Look at it. What does she do? She covers up harlotries. I mean, think about what women who are harlots, who are whores, who are prostitutes. They know things. They know things that a lot of other people don't know and will never know. They know them. They always have what? A little black book. They have a list of names. Who was it? He was the advisor to President Clinton back during the 90s. Would frequent women of ill repute back in those days. And it was reported that while he was housed up with a prostitute, he told her that he knew that there were recovered alien ships at Area 51. Talk about secrets. These women are the ones who keep secrets. They keep them from wives. They keep them from other church members. They keep secrets. And that's that whole operation, Mystery Babylon the Great. Anyway, she is who she committed fornication with whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This spirit is in charge of all the pornography that's in the world. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery. She's not the revealer. She's the one who covers up. This has got her signature all over it. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Let me show you another aspect to that spirit. So you can kind of understand how conspiracies really work. Ephesians 2. The Bible says in verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So when it comes to understanding how things really work in this world, a lot of books have been written. I have a ton of them. books about how this family is in charge of all the conspiracies. No, it's this organization here. They're the ones who are funding the Illuminati. No, it's the Illuminati. They're the ones who are doing everything. No, it's the Bilderberg. No, it's the Council on Foreign Relations. No, it's the Rockefellers. No, it's the Rothschilds. No, it's the Merovingian kings. No, it's the Vatican. It's the Freemasons. It's the Odd Fellow Society. Who is doing all of this? Must be the Bohemian Grove, right? Well, it's actually all of them together. There isn't just one group in this world working to bring about a new world order. It's a lot of them. But they're all guided by the self-same spirit. You see, there's just some things, some conspiracies that just don't make sense. Probably because there would be too many people involved in it, orchestrating too many things that there's no way in the world you could orchestrate all of that. So it doesn't make sense unless you understand that at the core of everything is a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. You see, we have in us the spirit of God's Son, Jesus Christ, crying in us, Abba, Father. And that spirit leads us, and that spirit guides us, and that spirit shows us things, and it helps us. But it causes us to say and do the things that we do. And it works out miracles in our life, does it not? They also have a spirit that works in them. That when you see the marks that spirit has been there, when you see symbols, when you see certain numbers, then it makes sense. Because to think that a man did this, there's no way a man could do all this. But when you think then that there is a spirit behind everything, spirits can do things far greater than what men can do. I mean, after all, what man or group of men can actually cause an entire mountain to collapse in on itself? And I'll show you what I mean by that in a little bit. Well, they can't. But spirits can do it. They have a lot more power over this earth than, I mean, read the book, first two chapters of the book of Job. It was the devil that killed Job's whole family. And how did he do it? A tornado came in, killed him. Blew them all away. I mean, how does men organize things such as the events behind 9/11? And I've seen the videos, I've seen the conspiracy theories. To me, the spirits were involved in that. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So here's the kicker right here. Here's the thing that you're focused on. Because I went and looked up when Jeffrey Epstein was arrested. He was arrested on July 6th. Now, I did the math and it didn't come up with anything. Wasn't any particular significant day of the year. It wasn't any particular day from the day he was arrested to the day that he was found dead in his cell. But then I found out what day he was actually charged with his crimes. July 8th, federal prosecutors charged financier Jeffrey Epstein with one count of sex trafficking of a minor and one count of conspiracy to commit sex trafficking. Per the indictment, over the course of many years, Jeffrey Epstein, the defendant, sexually exploited and abused dozens of minor girls at his homes in Manhattan, New York, Palm Beach, Florida, among other locations. The document also noted that in order to maintain and increase his supply of victims, Epstein also paid certain of his victims to recruit additional girls to be similarly abused. The prosecution alleged that he sexually assaulted girls as young as 14 years old. Did you do the math? From July 8th until August 10th. It's 33 days exactly. Now we have a conspiracy. Now we have, and not just a conspiracy, now we have part of a pattern. Part of a pattern. This number, 33. Now, if you jump and say, the Masons! I knew it was the Masons! They all... Think much bigger than just the lodge in your hometown. Because it is much bigger than that. Now, remember my illustration of finding a penny on the sidewalk. You find one penny on the sidewalk. Big deal, you found a penny. 10 steps. You take 10 steps, you find another penny. Wow, I found 2 pennies. 10 more steps, you find a third penny. Now you're starting to think something. Who's dropping pennies? If you take 10 more steps and find another penny, by the time you find the fourth penny, you're looking around going, who's putting pennies every 10 steps? Take another 10 steps, there's a penny. Another 10 steps, there's a penny. Another 10 steps, there's a penny. And now you know beyond any reasonable doubt whatsoever. And this would work in a court of law. It's not just a accident that someone is dropping pennies out of their pocket at exactly 10-step intervals. Someone is deliberately placing pennies, one every 10 feet. And the more you walk 10 feet, pick up another one, walk 10 feet, and it just never stops. It keeps on going. This was 2018. A 33-year-old man arrested on Sunday morning after police said he was heading to church with a loaded firearm. If you look in movies, you'll see this number in movies everywhere. Everywhere. I can't remember what movie I was watching the other day, and all of a sudden it showed this tombstone. And on this headstone, I did the math, and whoever died on there was 33 years old. Now, that was done deliberately. It was, what I'm saying is, this headstone, this gravestone, was part of the plot of the movie. Wasn't just some random thing that they picked. So whoever came up with these dates on this headstone, they may have meant it this way or whatever, but that number 33, this person dead being 33 years old, was not an accident. It had a spiritual significance to it. It had a meaning to it. Here's another story. Christopher Snyder, if you remember him. The article has to go out of its way to mention his 33-year-old wife. They want you to know that. 33-foot-long dinosaur, bigger than King Kong. Really, was it exactly 33 feet long? Was it exactly 33 feet long? Or was this story more about a beast related to that number, 33? The guy who won all those Jeopardy episodes, James Holzhauer's Jeopardy streak ends just shy of a record. In the pre-recorded episode that aired on Monday, Holzhauer's Jeopardy reign came to an end with his 33rd game. Really? Really? Why his 33rd game? Okay, why that number? And was that pre-selected by a Masonic conspiracy? No. Remember, there is a spirit, I would say a whole bunch of them. I would say 33% of all of the spirituals, of all the spirits in the entire creation, are at work here. 33%, because that's one-third. That's the number of angels that fall, right? He's burning himself alive. Man lights himself on fire near White House and later dies. Some 3 hours after he was last seen at his Maryland home on Wednesday, a 33-year-old man reappeared near the White House where he set himself on fire in a grisly scene that was captured by other pedestrians. That was May 30th of this year. 33-year-old man lit himself on fire. By the way, Burning Man. Remember that? Burning Man. This year, celebrating its 33rd year. Now, I just talked about some of this back in May. And I'm digging back up some of this information because it's part of that pattern. Epstein is indicted on these charges. 33 days later, he's dead. Is it an accident? There's no way in the world it's an accident. It's not just something that happened to have happened exactly that way. Not a chance. Let's see here. Burning Man. And you understand what Burning Man is, right? Burning Man is the beast. The man of sin, the son of perdition. Perdition is hell. He is the phoenix that is destroyed in the flames, rises up out of his ashes. That's what Burning Man is. They're worshiping this idol, the Burning Man. The Burning Man is the Antichrist. Dierks Bentley, this year, doing what he calls his Burning Man tour. Now, if you remember, I counted up all the concerts that he had listed on his website. Okay? And I counted 32. However, there's one that's not listed on this Burning Man Tour website. There's this one. Between August 30th and September 1st, that's the 33rd one. And that's his Burning Man tour. Did the Masons call him and say, we want you to have 33 concerts. Can you do that? And call it Burning Man, or else we'll have you eliminated. Do you think they did that? No. It's a spirit working in the children. And by the way, 666. Groundhog Day. You ever seen Groundhog Day? Groundhog Day is about a man who keeps reliving the same day over and over and over again. It's February 2nd. February 2nd is 2 days after January 31st. Do the math. 33rd day of the year. I had this comic book called Son of Satan. Marvel Comics. I never was a Marvel fan. Sorry, guys. But they came up with Son of Satan. They made his birthday February the 2nd. Groundhog Day, the 33rd day of the year. And the Son of Satan literally was the offspring of Lucifer and a human woman. Ba, ba, ba. But anyway, that was his birthday, 33rd day of the year. So here's Bill Murray. And he's reliving the same day over and over again. And you don't really get this from the movie. I read an article about the making of this movie. And the producers of this movie, someone asked him how many times did he relive this same day. And it seemed like they said it was like 100-some-odd years of reliving the same day over and over again. But he's reliving the 33rd day of the year. And see, the point of the whole movie is, how can I put it? Here is, Bill Murray starts out as this real mean, nasty, it's all about me kind of guy. And he has this epiphany. He has this transformation that takes place so that on the only day then that he doesn't relive the 33rd day of the year is when he commits fornication with the female, you know, part of the movie. He doesn't get married to her. He gets her into bed. And in doing that, he's now achieved, and he literally says in the movie, I'm a god. And there's a close-up there. This scene here, I mean, they just show you. Channel 33 news in the background. It's 33rd day of the year. That day is called Imbolc. It means in the belly. And it's about something in the womb of the earth. And they have all these big fires that they light like Burning Man. But it's about something that's in the womb of the earth that is going to be born later on. I think May 1st. Yeah, here it is. Imbolc. Columbia. The space shuttle, Columbia. Now, when Columbia, when it came into, when it actually burned up in the Earth's atmosphere, it was February the 1st. However, when it started its descent, it was across the international dateline, February the 2nd, 33rd day of the year. And Columbia was on its way to landing on, take a guess, what runway? 33. The Terminator movie. Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese travel from 1984 to 2017. That's 33 years. To find that John Connor, whose initials are what? JC. Has become a hybrid and has built the new Skynet, which they call in this scene the Holy Grail. Also referring to its launch as a child being born. If you've seen this movie, you understand that the artificial intelligence goes through this process of maturing. At first, it sounds like a child, then it sounds like a teenager, then it's like a full-grown man. Okay, but they travel 33 years into the future. 33rd book of the Bible is about the birth of Christ, right? But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And then, of course, here is when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art now the least among the princes of Judah, yet for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. You have 32 teeth, one tongue, 33. So the tongue, the word tongue, is 33 times in the New Testament. A wholesome tongue represents Christ. A wicked tongue, Antichrist. Epstein. Deuteronomy 28:49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, or from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose what? Tongue. Thou shalt not understand. And see, Freemasonry explains the reason why they use symbols this way. Freemasonry says that Freemasonry got its start at the Tower of Babel. Because at the Tower of Babel, when God confused everybody's 33rd member, their tongue, that the builders of the Tower of Babel, whose top may reach into heaven, man's ascension, the builders of Babel, since they could no longer speak in words, they had to figure out symbols to use with one another. And sign language is universal. Doesn't matter what language you speak, when you use sign language, you speak in every language. It's like the universal language, but symbols is that way. Symbolism is meant to both reveal and conceal. Thus, the 222nd day of the year, Epstein's death, was meant to do what? Was it meant to reveal or to conceal? Maybe a little bit of both, right? I mean, who, you know, it's just like asking who shot John? Who shot Kennedy? Somebody whereby his death was a direct benefit to them. And that's the way it is with Epstein. And do we really think, I mean, ask yourself the question, did we ever, ever find out who shot John F. Kennedy? To this day, we don't know who did it. To this very day, we don't know who did it. Do you think we will, do you think they will figure out who was complicit in having Epstein killed 33 days after he was indicted? Not a chance. Not a chance. But that guy, as soon as he was locked up in prison, the clock was ticking. Because, I mean, they're going to throw the book at him. They're going to put him in prison for the rest of his life. You think he's going to talk? Absolutely. But dead people can't. Kundalini. Kundalini is about the spine. It's about the beast. Down here at your spine, the base of your spine, winding up the 33 bones, reaching the pineal gland, activating the pineal gland, and again, we're dealing with, does it conceal or reveal? Well, the pineal gland is what makes you go to sleep or wake up. When the pineal gland is, while it's receiving light through your eyes, it is deactivated. When you close your eyes at night, turn the lights out, and that pineal gland senses that no light is coming in, then it starts releasing melatonin, which puts you to sleep. So if this serpent's going to rise up the 33 bones of your spine and activate your pineal gland, is that awakening you, or is it making you go to sleep? Remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, we are children of the day, not children of the night. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. We are children of the day. Therefore, let us be sober. So when that pineal gland's activated, does it reveal or does it conceal? Well, it causes you to go to sleep. But it, their terminology, they think that is being made awake. You know, it's like you hear about mindfulness, right? And the idea of mindfulness makes you think that you're filling your mind with things, right? But that's not what it is. It's the exact opposite. Mindfulness and the practice of mindfulness starts out by you evacuating your mind, completely making your mind a void with nothing in it. They call it in churches, they call it, we're creating a space for God. Excuse me. God doesn't need us to create space. He's already done that. He can make his own. If God wants in your life and in your thoughts, excuse me, there isn't anything that can stop him. You see, that's the trap. They tell you it's mindfulness, but it's not. It's evacuating your mind, making it empty. So now this imagination can creep in. And that's what we're supposed to cast down. In Kabbalah, Epstein was a Jew. Jews practice and believe Kabbalah. Kabbalah is all about the revelation of the Antichrist. Notice in this right here, there is the silhouette of a man inside there. It's not meant to be noticed, but he is there. Now, is this man, this image of this man, is he concealed or is he revealed? In a way, both. And so what is it that both conceals and reveals this man? Well, notice these two pillars here. One is positive and one is negative. Those are opposites. One is white, one is dark. One is light, darkness. Yes and no. Yin and yang. One and zero. Male and female. And it's in these polar opposites that the Kabbalists teach that you're going to find this hidden man. There are 10 circles here, which represent, we know what it represents biblically. These are the 10 kings of Daniel chapter 2, the 10 toes of Daniel chapter 2, the 10 horns of Revelation 13, Revelation 12. So there are 10 kings or 10 divine. They're 10 princes, principalities, spirits, 10 spirits. These paths that connect all of these circles, there's 22 of them. So when you add the 22, which are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which would also be the letters of the amino acid that makes DNA. So when you add the 22 to the 10, you get 32. But there's another one hidden. Okay, a secret knowledge right here that's not part of the original 10. It's the 11th, which makes all of this 33. You're starting to catch this. The phrase, my salvation, 33 times in the scriptures, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, but also is the word sacrifice. Think about it. Think about it. Christ is our Passover, right? 66th chapter of the New Testament was about the Passover and sacrifice and Satan entering into Judas Iscariot. The word sacrificed 33 times. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may put be a new lump, for you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And how old was he? 33. But why was he that number? Think about in Genesis 3, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Think about how Adam's sons, Cain first, then Abel, but Cain slew Abel. Neither one of their lineage survives the flood. So now it's the third born son, Seth, that everybody in the world comes from. Everybody comes from Seth. Seth then goes all the way down. You get to Noah. Noah has how many sons? 1, 2, 3. So sin and our sin nature is passed down through Seth, third son of Adam. Adam's mentioned 30 times in the King James Bible. Did you know that? 30 times, King James Bible. Sin nature passed down to Shem, Ham, Japheth. Those 72 families. Then we get to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob has his 12 tribes or 12 sons. The third one is Levi. Third book of the Bible is Leviticus. Leviticus has 27 chapters in it, 3 times 3 times 3. It's about the price of sin. What was the price of sin? What did Judas Iscariot pay? 30 pieces of silver. And here's Jesus hung between two thieves, because he was numbered with the transgressors. So the book of 1 John says, for all that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is of the world and not of God. So that number 33 represents the man of sin. Christ, who became sin for us, who knew no sin. And to that word sacrificed, does Jeffrey Epstein's sacrifice serve the greater good for very wicked people? Absolutely. But not so they can be righteous, so they can cover up their sins. Man. We have the men that Moses and Joshua killed. Moses killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. Joshua killed 31 kings, 33 total. You have Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. And there were 32 kings with him, 33 kings. Just like the ones that Moses and Joshua killed, 33. The Japanese flag is a solar disk, the sun god, surrounded by 32 rays, 33. The Jesuit symbol also has the solar disk surrounded by 32 rays, some straight and some wavy. What does that represent? Opposites. Some are straight, some are crooked. The United Nations logo. The north part represents the north country or the Nordic aliens, surrounded by the 32 parts of the earth. CIA logo, same thing. Notice that it has opposites in it. 32 with one leader in the middle, that's 33. I got a lot more of this. The number of NFL teams, 32 with one commissioner. Roger, do you think playing football means you're a Mason? No. I like football. Both of my sons played football. Okay? Nothing wrong with throwing a ball and catching it and running with it. That's nothing wrong with that. Why is it organized that way? See, back in the 90s, they added teams back in the 90s. What, two teams? Making it 32 altogether with one commissioner, 33. And a few years ago, you remember when they changed the rules? You get 6 points for scoring a touchdown, right? You get a point for kicking the field goal. It's called the point after. And prior to, I think, what was it? Can't remember what year it was. It's in this century. It used to be, what, on the 5-yard line? Then they moved it. So now they kick the ball exactly 33 yards from the goalpost. Bum, bum, bum. I mean, who does this? Who makes this way? I think it's a spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. When they chose the Apollo astronauts, this is the 50th year since the moon landing, right? They selected 32 astronauts to train for the Apollo program. Deke Slayton, former astronaut, was in charge of the astronauts, 33. And who is Apollo? Apollo is the god, he is the son of Zeus and a human woman, making him exactly what the son of Satan is, the child of the devil. Apollo is the god of prophecy. I mean, there's so much here, people. And, you know, who comes up with this? Who invents this? Is it a cabal of men who are designing everything that happens in this world? No, I think there's a spirit working here. The king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariots. Chariots! Think about that! What are chariots? Where was Roswell, New Mexico? Do you know where it is? And if you say New Mexico, I'm going to climb through this camera and I'm going to slap you. 33rd parallel. 33rd parallel. Masonry. I mean, you know, take a look at it. You have here, down here, you have 32 stars that are ruled over by this double-headed eagle. You can tell he's ruling because he wears a crown with this number on it. He is double-headed because it represents opposites, left and right, ancient and future together. That which was, that which shall be, ordo ab chao, those are opposites. Out of chao, which literally means the pit, comes order or the new world order. These stars, because they represent the 33% of the angels that fall from heaven. And it's an innumerable company of angels. Therefore, 33, or one-third of the angels, is a never-ending decimal. It keeps going and going and going into infinity. And God is always the one who knows where the end of infinity is. Which is why I serve. I serve a smart God, by the way. Amen? Look at this. Revelation 2. Look at this. Revelation 2, 9. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. There's 33 words in this verse. Synagogue 43 times. Synagogues 23 times. 66 total. Epstein. It's a Jewish name. Bump, bump, bump. Ex-transgender man, 33, who now identifies as an agender alien. Ugh, that's disgusting. And think about that. He is both genders. He thinks himself as agendered, meaning non-gendered. But he's the androgynous god like Bacchus or Dionysus is, or Shiva is sometimes characterized as an androgynous god. I think Buddha is an androgynous god. He's definitely masculine, feminine in his appearance often. I'm not saying that officially. I just my little thing there about Buddha. But he's the fusion of the opposite, sons of God, daughters of men. There's your son of Satan. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. The beast. That phrase mentioned exactly 33 times. That beast is the child of the devil. Mm-mm-mm. Masonry. 33 levels to the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Percy Jackson, this is from the movie Percy Jackson, the Lightning Thief. The roulette wheel. You know, if you add up all the numbers on a roulette wheel, do you know what you get? 600, 3 score, and 6. I'm not kidding you. It is a known. Go to Wikipedia or go to your favorite casino. Because I almost guarantee you, somebody listening to me right now has a favorite casino. Go to your favorite casino, take a picture of the roulette wheel, and add up the numbers. The Wheel of Fortune is 600, 3 score, and 6. Percy Jackson, the Lightning Thief, and Perseus, even in myth and even in this movie, is a son of the gods and of a human woman. And his little magic ball ends up on the number 33. Now, it's possible that the producers of this movie or somebody involved with this movie picked that number just knowing what they were doing. I don't have this in my notes, but in Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Richard Dreyfuss plays the main character in the movie, Roy Neary. Roy Neary is one of 12 people that the aliens summoned to what ended up being Devil's Tower, Wyoming. 12 people to meet the mothership at the Devil's Mountain. It's the opposite of 12 tribes meeting God at the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. And they give of Roy Neary's date of birth in the movie. And from that date of birth to the year the movie came out, he's 33 years old when he gets to go into the mothership and is lifted up above the earth. Bada boom, bada bing. We talked about that a while ago. Yeah, the 33 miners. Now, here's what I'm saying. Cannot be a man-made conspiracy here. Cannot be. Because what trapped, number one, who put those 33 miners down in that pit on that day? Who decided that? Nobody that we know of. Then while they're there, we know what happened. That pit that they were in, that mining pit, just, you know, was underneath this humongous mountain, and literally the heart of that mountain collapsed in on itself and trapped those miners down in there. Who has that kind of power? Who can do that? How did anybody know then that once they were trapped in there that they could bring them back out? It took 66 days of drilling. 66 days exactly. So the 33 are trapped under the earth in a pit. What rescued them? The Phoenix. Look it up. A specially designed capsule that they called El Phoenix. So and that symbolism was deliberate. It was so that these men could be rescued. That Phoenix capsule, it's like the Phoenix. It dies in the fire and is resurrected out of the ashes. And they named it that deliberately. That part I'll give you. But what sort of Masonic powers are there in this earth that can make this event happen exactly the way it did? And do you remember when they were rescuing these miners? I mean, I remember watching this going, this is pretty cool. But I knew what it was about. They sent down specially designed t-shirts for all of those men to wear as they were pulled out. And they all had a big pentagram on them or a star. 33 stars. Think about it. By the way, the movie was released on iTunes February the 2nd, 33rd day of the year. That may have been deliberate. That may have been deliberate. The Man of Steel, who was the bridge between two worlds, Krypton and the Superman saga, was written by two Jewish comic book writers, Joel Siegel and Jerry Schuster. They were both Jewish, and they named the planet Krypton. Krypton means secret. He comes from a secret place. He comes from the heavens. He fell down to the earth, and he's a god. And in the movie Man of Steel, get it? Man of Steel, he's 33 years old. That, I believe, was deliberate. No doubt in my mind. And that whole Man of Steel movie was about his sacrifice for the saving of Earth. Sometimes you have to take a leap of faith. Samson, I love this one. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. 33 words exactly. Now that one I love. That one I know was inspired by a spirit. A Holy Spirit. Spirit nonetheless. Don Weldon, 33 years old. JFK, he wasn't 33. He was 46. Dun, dun, dun. Dallas, Texas, 33rd parallel. 11-22, 33. It's the date. Here we go. There's a good one. Now, let me explain this one. Let me spend a couple minutes with Pope John Paul I. John Paul I was Pope before John Paul II. I don't know if you knew that or not. Pope Paul dies. They elect a new Pope. Now, for all the things about popery and the whole office of the Pope and everything else, I kind of like this guy. Because his name was Albino Luciani, I think is what his real name was. And he really did love the Catholic Church. I mean, he was a dedicated kind of guy. A nice guy, in other words. Among all the evils of the Vatican, he was the better of the evils. All right? He found out several things had gone on in the Vatican that he was not happy about. Number one, he found out about the role of the Illuminati in the Vatican. In other words, he knew that there was a large company. He was surrounded by Freemasons. And you say, well, I don't believe that because Freemasons are not supposed to be Catholics. Okay, so what? Big deal. Priests are supposed to be celibate, right? But he found out that a large number of the cardinals and so on that are in the Vatican were P2, which was Italian Freemasons. He also found out that there was a lot of dirty money coming in and going out through the Vatican Bank. He found out that his own Secretary of State was one of those Masons, and there was a huge scandal going on with money back then. So he finds all this out. If you believe the story of the late Jesuit Malachi Martin. Malachi Martin writes a series of books. One of them is called The Windswept House. Martin used to be a Jesuit priest, but he left the priesthood, got married. And Malachi Martin knew a lot of the stuff that went on inside the Vatican. And Malachi Martin, in the book called Windswept House, and I haven't talked about this in a long time, but Windswept House was written as a novel, but ends up being a true story. In 1963, think about that year, JFK killed. 63 is when the Supreme Court outlawed prayer in the public schools. A lot of things changed in this world after 1963. You can go to 63 and look and just almost see overnight a transformation of the world. But in 1963, according to Malachi Martin, there was a ceremony that took place. Part of it took place in St. Paul's Cathedral in the Vatican, and a Catholic church in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, Charleston, South Carolina is where there was a what they call the Mother Lodge of United States Freemasonry. There's a big Masonic lodge there in Charleston, South Carolina, and it's because Charleston is on the 33rd parallel. So between the Vatican and this Catholic church in Charleston, South Carolina, there is this ceremony taking place, and they're using telephone. This is 1963. They're using a telephone to coordinate what they're doing. And in Windswept House, Malachi Martin says that there was a dog used, a five-year-old girl used in this ceremony. And basically, they called it the enthronement ceremony of the fallen angel Lucifer. And Martin says he wrote it as a novel, but that it was a real event that took place. 1963. So, Albino Luciani, John Paul I, finds out all this. He's not happy. He's going to make some changes in the Vatican. In other words, he has a list of names of people that he's going to release to the world, and he's going to get rid of some very powerful, high-ranking Vatican officials, including the Vatican Secretary of State. The day before he's going to do all this, he dies in his sleep, exactly 33 days after becoming Pope, and he was 66 years old. Now, it doesn't take a spirit to do that one, but I believe spirits were involved. Okay? This number, 33. And I literally, from the moment I found out about Epstein's death, I'm going to go, he was 66. That's 33 times 2. Okay, maybe. And then I looked at what day he was arrested, and I'm going, no, that's 35 days. But then he's charged exactly 33 days before he's killed. And then he dies 33 days later. I don't think that's an accident. I don't think it just miraculously happened that way. Absolutely. Jeffrey Epstein's death serves a purpose. Now, there may be some people thinking like, well, what he had to die, because with the amount of information that he had, you know, the world cannot handle that kind of scandal. All of these very powerful, important people are going to be brought down, and the world won't be able to handle that scandal. There's going to be, you know, murders in the streets, and there's going to be rioting, and, you know, the stock market's going to crash, and all these terrible things, you know, aliens are going to land, and all this terrible. Who cares? I, for one, am sick and tired of being ruled over in this world by evil people who think they can get away with murder, rape, pedophilia, you name it. These elite around the world and in this country who think that they are better than everybody else, above everybody else, I'm sick of it. And one of these days, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to throw the whole lot of them into the lake of fire. Somebody say amen to that. Bon Scott, AC/DC, 33 years old. David Koresh, 33 years old. Now, he thought himself to be Jesus Christ, second coming. Okay? Timothy McVeigh. They deliberately withheld the date of his execution, supposedly 30 days, because they wanted to make sure they examined the evidence correctly and new evidence came forth. They wanted to make sure they were killing the right guy. No, it wasn't. They were waiting until 23 days after he became 33 to kill him. And he's laid out like this. Alfred P. Murrah Building. This is a diagram of the pillars that supported that building. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's rows A, B, and C. 33 pillars. Now, Alfred P. Murrah, by the way, was a Freemason. Muhammad Atta, sort of, I guess, the brains behind 9/11, 33 years old. The Twin Towers themselves. Steel construction began 1968. Those buildings were 33 years old. And to commemorate those buildings, if you remember, they took two lights and shined them up into the night sky. And they did that for exactly how long? 33 nights. The Virginia Tech Massacre, you remember that? 32 killed. The victim, or the killer, was number 33. Heaven's Gate people. Remember that? All those people that killed, that suicided themselves? That was on the 33rd degree, 30-minute north latitude. Rancho Santa Fe, north of San Diego, California. And then, I mean, there's so much more. The Hanged Man, there is a symbolism that goes along with that. I don't really have the time.